Morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who is on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, "You three come out of the tent to the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam when they had both come forward. He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. Then Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us, in which we have acted foolishly and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb." And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "O God, heal her, I pray." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, would she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside the camp, and afterward she may be received again." So Miriam was shut up outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until Miriam was received again. Afterward, however, the people moved out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Amen. Wow, this is really quite a powerful passage here. So this is the murmuring of Miriam and Aaron. One thing that, just as a aside, okay, one thing that you have to kind of see through Scripture is the issue of leadership. And I'll explain what I mean by this. Throughout the Bible, Old Testament all the way to New Testament, whoever was the leader or the instigator was always named first. And then later on, it moves forward that way. You'll see this quite prevalent, give us a lot of insight into Paul, actually. Because when Paul starts his journey, it was always Barnabas and Paul. And then later on, as Paul steps into more of the leadership role, then it becomes Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, and so forth. So we see here in the beginning of this, and you'll see how this works, we see that this murmuring was most likely not really Aaron. It was Miriam. It was the wife. And so a couple hypotheses of why she's acting like this. First of all, Moses marries a Cushite. Cushites were, I guess, in our modern day, they were the Ethiopians. And so they were dark skin, and this was from the son of Ham, and you know, the Cush line and whatnot. And so Miriam is a bit, kind of as a family member, a bit appalled by that. But most likely, that was kind of more of like the icing on the cake, or the last straw is probably a better way of saying it. Most likely, she was a bit troubled by the appointment of the 70 elders. You remember that Aaron and Miriam as well, they were prophets and prophetesses. And so they were the ones that had the Spirit of the Lord upon them. And they were the ones that heard from God and all these things. And next thing you know, we have this incident happens, and now God, or Moses, raises up 70 elders. And what do? They prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon them. Remember in the Old Testament, the only people that could be assured of the presence of the Holy Spirit was kings and priests. And now these leaders, these elders step in, and the Spirit of God. And so there's probably a part of Miriam who's probably fighting on behalf of her husband and say, "Oh, my husband is..." Now I'm reading a lot into this now, okay? So this is my own commentary. But it's like, oh, you know, my husband's leadership or his influence is dwindled with the 70. And now here Moses goes and he marries a Cushite. And you have to understand, in this culture, the Cushites were looked upon very negatively. They were not a people that you would want to marry with. And so there actually is no reasoning why Moses did. There's nothing in Scripture. Why did he do this? Did something happen to Zipporah, who was his wife, when he was in the wilderness? We don't know. Maybe she died. I don't know. But something is going on here. So much to the point now, he gets to this place, and so marries this woman, and the Miriam and Aaron, remember the leadership. So if you look later on, notice what God does. So God calls him, and look at verse 4. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam. And then in verse 5, he called Aaron and Miriam. And so God knows what the proper order of leadership is. And so we recognize now that Miriam was primarily the one instigating it. And unfortunately, as a result, Miriam will also be the one that pays the penalty of it. Now, in this regard, they should have both paid the penalty because they were both murmuring. But most commentators believe that because Aaron was in the priestly office, it would have been anathema for him to get leprosy. And so, unfortunately, it was given to his wife. And she was the instigator of it all, but more so because Aaron would have to go do the sacrifices and have an unclean person in any form or fashion would negate really that priestly office in a way. And so this is what happens. So they come, they marry, and they just start complaining and complaining and complaining. You know, what? Is Moses the only one that hears from God? Don't we also hear from God according to their office that they have in Israel at that time? Don't we also hear from the Lord? Right? This is the one of the scariest verses in the Bible. Little note at the end of verse 2. And the Lord heard it. Oh, crap. The Lord heard it. And oh man, my house church leader, man, that guy, my house church leader, man, that she doesn't care about me. My house church leader, man, these guys are so selfish, you know, blah 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 blah. Be careful, because the Lord hears it. Oh, Pastor Sam, that guy's so mean, right? Why does he make us do all these things all the time, right? Pastor Sam, why is he yelling at us every Sunday? Right? Well, I guess that's more legitimate, I guess, than anything else. You know, but maybe other things, not the mean part, but the yelling part. You know, but some of these things, oh, why are we doing this? Why are we planning churches? Well, the Lord hears it. I remember the Bible tells us every careless word that we speak, God says he will render judgment. And so be very careful of what we say. Be very, very careful of our attitudes, you know, that we bring into God's house. You know, your house church leaders, your pastors, you know, your board members, your elders, you know, they are servants of God. And so in that same way, that you should offer that respect in a very simple way, even if you feel like they're not doing what you think they should be doing, right? God is the one that's going to render judgment, not you. You know what I mean? And so really the best thing you can do is pray for them. Just really pray and just really take it up with the Lord instead of murmuring, because things happen, man. You know, we look all through the Scriptures. People are mouthing off. And like I shared yesterday, people complain and not offering any solutions. And as a result, things happen. And so the Lord comes. And it's interesting, the next verse, it says, now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who is on the face of the earth. And this is in parentheses. And so there's a couple of different theories to why it's in parentheses. Some say that Ezra actually added this on later on about this. Some, you know, say it was Moses, but he was uncomfortable in writing this, but he was, you know, being led by the Spirit in this regard. But I think maybe a clarification of a word may help us in understanding either which way or not. But the word very humble, actually the better translation is that Moses was very afflicted. It's the Hebrew word, the root word, ana, which actually means afflicted more than humble. Humble is also part of it, but it's a humility that comes from affliction. And so what this verse is trying to tell us that here's Moses, and he is, he's gone and do this thing. Probably his family members are talking, but he's so afflicted. He's been so beat down. And we can see this running through that he doesn't really pay much mind to it. He doesn't really address it. I mean, you know, Moses as a leader, he could have just told Aaron, tell your wife to chill, man, you know. And tell your wife to calm down and things. This is from the Lord, but Moses doesn't. And so there's no dialogue per se because he was so afflicted. He basically, Moses was the scapegoat for the Israelites. Moses was always being trampled on. Moses was always being beat up in essence. And so you look through the scriptures and Moses is always like, you know, he's like, God, see, do you hear the people? You know, Moses is like, hey, you shut up, man. Right? He doesn't have that kind of personality. He is meek in that regard. He'd be like, what, you guys? I mean, you know, he's me and Moses, we're very different. You know, like if I hear stuff, I'll call you into the office. What did you say? You know, like, what is this? Can you clarify what you said? What? You called our church what? You know, and so on and so forth. And we just deal with it and take care of it and just clear up any misunderstandings, right? Moses and I, we're very different kind of people. Moses just takes it. He just constantly, and he goes and complains to God. God, come on. Why did you put me in this situation? These guys hate me, you know, kind of stuff. This is like a common theme that we'll be reading throughout the text here. You know, they ask for water, and he complains to God. They ask for meat, and complains to God, and so on and so forth. Just very different because he was a very afflicted individual. I mean, you feel for this guy in this regard. And then this is the great thing, you know, about in some ways not coming to your own defense. And so the Lord says, all right, you three, come here. I mean, it's pretty like, you, come here. Then he descends in a cloud. And look what he says. He stood in the doorway. So he calls Aaron and Miriam, right? So the three of them came out. And then he comes down in a cloud and he says, Moses, you stay. You too, come here. That's scary, man. And then look what he says. Hear not my words. If there's a prophet among you, and they're all prophets, okay? So they're all in this same kind of level. If there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. In other words, what he's saying is that God is saying, I back him up. He married this Cushite. I back him up. He is faithful in my whole house. With him, I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. What God is telling Aaron and Miriam here is that, listen, Moses represents me. That's what God is saying. He's saying, to prophets, that's what you guys are, just prophets, okay? That's what you guys do. You guys prophesy, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, and you prophesy. That's your job. That's great. But for you, you get visions, dreams, and dark sayings. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it so hard to hear God's voice? Have you ever asked yourselves? Because you get dreams, visions, and dark sayings. I mean, that's what prophets get. Isn't that crazy, right? And so it's going to take a lot of skill, a lot of art, a lot of years to perfect the interpretation of dreams, dark sayings, and visions, and whatnot. But with Moses, he is my representative here on earth. And with him, I speak mouth to mouth. I mean, it's face to face. In other words, I speak to him like a friend. And then later on, I mean, before an Exodus, he also talks about that as well. And so then this is the question. So why then were you not afraid? Afraid. He's not even talking about respect, okay? He didn't say, then why did you not respect Moses? He said, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Right? To speak against my servant. Again, be very careful of what you're complaining about. Be very careful of what you say. Right, against God, against God's house, against God's servants. Be very, very aware because, again, the end of verse 2, the Lord heard it. Be very afraid. And so what happens? The anger of the Lord burns against them, and then he departs. And then when the cloud, so his anger burned against Aaron and Miriam, and he descends, and what happens right in this place? Miriam immediately gets leprosy. And so now look what Aaron does. Very, very wise. He turns to the man of God, and he says, Lord, please, because he knows who Aaron is, or who Moses is now. Moses, he recognizes, oh my gosh, you're just not my brother-in-law, man. You're a representative of God. And so he says, Moses, can you please ask the Lord to not let this happen to my wife? Have mercy on my wife. And what does Moses do? Nah, I don't think so. He's not like, well, you said these things against my new wife. Forget you, man. Right? No. And this is really the prerogative of leadership, is that you forgive when the opportunity arises. Right? Always. You just forgive when the opportunity arises. This is a word for all of our leaders, okay? Listen, you're going to have knucklehead people under you. Some of you guys are sitting in this room right now. Let's be honest, okay? You talk too much. You complain. You call people names even and stuff. And even through all that, you know, sometime that person is going to come and ask for forgiveness. Offer forgiveness. Offer grace. That's your prerogative. And so that's what Moses does. He says, Lord, heal her. You know, and so they're trying to figure out. So God does, and he says something really interesting. And he says here, he says, you know, even if a father spit in her face, she'd be set out for 7 days. This was it wasn't common, but obviously no one likes to be spit at, right? I mean, being spit at is really bad. If you've ever been spit at, I would just not go to wherever you went. Or if it's your friend, I would find new friends, you know, whatever the case may be. And so when you're in this Eastern culture here, when a father spits at their children, particularly the word here, spit in your face, it was actually even grievous to spit in the vicinity of anyone. And the moment that someone spit, especially your father spit, it means that you were cut off from the family. And so, but for 7 days. And so what God is saying here is, like it says, even if, so he's giving this, okay, she needs to go out for 7 days. I'm going to heal her, but she needs to go through the ceremonial ritual cleansing. And so she lays out, and this is the grace of God. They don't move until she's restored. They don't move until she's restored. So she's not forgotten. She is punished, but she's not forgotten. I think that's a very, very clear point for a lot of us. You know, sometimes you do wrong, you're going to be punished, but thank God you're not going to be forgotten. So they don't set out from the camp. They're restored. Isn't that great? They're restored. She gets restored. And then they set out together in this regard. And God really, really, truly forgives. There may be 7 days of mourning, you know, and I think sometimes, I think that's good. Do you know what I mean? I think sometimes we don't know the gravity of what we do. And so punishment, or I'll use a more likable term, discipline. I don't know how likable that is. But discipline for a season, it produces results. I mean, for myself as a parent, I mean, I know discipline for a season produces incredible results. You know, but part of that discipline also, the back end should also be restoration. Right? I mean, even with kids, I mean, there should be a talk and a hug and some understanding. And if you're a Christian parent, some prayer, you know, at the end of this. And I think it's very, very effective for children, and that's who we all are in that regard. So even though, think about this, even though Miriam messed up, she spoke against the servant of the Lord, they repented. They punished, and they were restored. And then they moved on in the journey together. Amen? So great, great, great passage. Let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. Are there murmurings in your heart? Have you spoken against the servant of the Lord? Pastor, house church leader? Repent. Repent. Ask for the Lord's forgiveness. And move into the restoration process with God. There should always be a healthy respect. Let's pray this morning.
You turn ashes to beauty, morning to dancing, anguish to songs of praise. Pour your Spirit over me, let your to give, to feed. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me now, spreading love. You turn ashes to beauty, morning to dancing.
Let's do a heart check this morning. Make sure there's no murmuring in our hearts, especially against the servants of the Lord. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to watch over us. It's a, you know, the Lord has been really speaking to us the last few days. It's a big deal. You should support your leaders, not talk behind their backs. You should love them, respect them, not try to put them down in some way. Let's pray. Let's ask God to check our heart. Let's pray over our community that's battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing hand upon them. Pray for the Holy Spirit to just breathe over not just them, but their whole families. You know, cancer affects the whole family. Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing spiritually and physically. Let's pray for our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. So our mission focus, let's pray for Cambodia. Now let's pray for Grace and Ashley as they are very busy ministering at Bloom. Let's cover Bloom as well, Murray. Let's pray for Pastor O, VR2R, and also Pastor Tang at New Life Church. We have a couple of trips coming up this summer. Let's just pray in advance and ask God to cover. And just really continue to use our friends in Cambodia and just breathe His Spirit in this country. Let's pray. Let's pray for IP, Well, and Cascade. Let's pray for our leaders and our volunteers. They would just continue to minister strong and mighty, and as the hand of God will be upon them. Pray for everyone that comes into these ministries for healing. The healing would be so effective in their life. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries, our Yaman, Yamama. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon them, and the Lord would really gather men and women together. They would really grow as iron sharpens iron. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our activities tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the homeless outreach, our outreach activities. And let's pray for God's hand to be with our team as they go, and they would really minister effectively tonight. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Soho, Robin Hood, and Austin West. And let's pray for a very fruitful time of ministry tonight. Let's pray for Irene Wong. Let's pray for her to want to know more about the power of the love of God. Pray for that she wants to meet with Jesus physically. Pray that the salvation of all her unbelieved family members, they would be saved. And let's lift up Irene. Let's pray for Emmy. Pray for good health for her family, including her 93-year-old grandfather, a healthy pregnancy and smooth delivery in May. Pray for favor and guidance in her career and relationships. She wants to start working again, using her skills and experience to make a difference. And pray for harmony within family, including reconciliation with the eldest sister. Let's lift up Emmy. Let's pray for Min Suk. Let's pray that to draw closer to God and get to know Him more on a personal level by putting Him in the center of his life. Pray that He will continue to provide for his wife and son as the head of the family. And pray for self-discipline and endurance during the course as he takes his CFA Level 1 exam in June. Let's pray for Min. Lastly, let's continue to pray for Christina. She's getting better and better. Let's continue to ask God's full, complete healing upon her and just real support for the whole family. Let's lift up. Lord, again, we thank you this morning for that gentle reminder, Lord, to be very careful what we say, God. And even more than what we say, be very careful of the attitudes that we hold in our hearts against your servants, God. Lord, we just pray for humility. And we pray for grace. Lord, we pray that forgiveness would flow, repentance would flow, God. And just lead us, lead our church, God, in the way that pleases you. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today as we seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.